that should be president plus three.
We'll talk about that a little bit. If you want, we'll talk a little bit about this. This is the Heiliger Rebellion, my friends. We're already being pulled into the circle of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon Bayechai, Rabbi Shimon had a chevraya. The chevraim of Rabbi Shimon, his talmidim, Rabbi Shimon Bayechai. And it says in the Zohar Kaddish that kimatu chevraya lahai parashasa, that when the chevraya, and Rabbi Shimon's chevra, every year when they would come to this parasha, Parashas Kedoshim, Havachadoin, it says Havachadoin, they would be in a more exalted state of simcha. Because when one learns Pnimis HaTorah and a person tries to be part of that chevraya on our level, obviously, to have a peek into that world of Rabbi Shimon, so then you know that when it says in the Pasuk, Kedoshim Tiyu is not just some sort of a commandment, whatever that means exactly, which you all learn and talk about. Kedoshim Tiyu is not only a commandment, but Kedoshim Tiyu is a promise. It's a haftachah. In the world of Rabbi Shimon, in the world of Pnimis HaTorah, Kedoshim Tiyu is a haftacha, is a promise that Hashem made. That no matter whatever you think about how things are and how you look and how you feel right now, and you see yourself as being somebody that has no shaychus to Kedusha, whatever your interpretation is of Kedusha, no shaychus to it, the Chevraya of Rabbi Shimon understood that Kedoshim Tiyu is a haftacha, it's a promise. You're going to be Kaddish. Guaranteed. You're a Jew, Kedoshim Tiyu. Ki Kodesh Ani Hashem. Just as I am Kodesh, which itself is a shocking end to the pasuk. Those words, I don't have time to go into that right now. Ki Kodesh Ani Hashem. So let's try to have a little bit of a taste of that simcha of, as I said, a little bit of a peek into the chevraya of Rabbi Shimon. And to feel, if we can, a mashu of this simcha that the chevraya felt. This is the week of Teferis. Teferis of Teferis. The week of Teferis. And that means that everything this week needs to be understood in light of that midah of Teferis. Everything. And that's how we learn in the shul all of the years, each week, of whatever we're learning, to try to understand. Whatever we're learning, to understand in light of the midah of that week. So this is the week of Teferis. And here in Chuslois, the relating Parshas Kedoshim. And we also, this week, have the second parak in Pirkei Avos. And in the second parak of Pirkei Avos, there, Rabbi Omer, Eizu Derech Yishar, Shiyavol HaAdam, Rabbi says, Eizu Derech Yishar, what is the straight path that a person should clarify for himself in this world? Kol Shu Teferis Lo Yisev, Teferis Lo HaAdam. There are different ways of understanding that. Look in Tosfos Yontif and the Rav. But Kol Teferis, whatever brings glory and pride to the person who is doing that, that who lives in that way, that Derech Yishar. And Teferis Leiman HaAdam, and it brings pride and glory to him from other people. Teferis Leiman HaAdam. Again, there are different Perushim, Aisah, and Min HaAdam. But Teferis. Rabbeinu HaKadosh is saying that the Derech Yesharish Yavol HaAdam is Teferis. You all know that even on a simple level, the Inyan of Teferis is Chesed is on the right and Gvur is on the left of Teferis, right? It's Rachmim in the middle. It's Yaakov Avinu, that's where you understand that according to the, we see in the Shai Gulgulim that Rabbeinu HaKadosh is a Nitzoyitz of the Neshama of Yaakov Avinu. And the Inyan of Yaakov is Teferis, the Midah of Yaakov is Teferis. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and Rebbe is Teferis. Teferis lo yisev, Teferis lo yimad ha'odim. So since Parshas Kedoshim is in the week of Teferis, here where we are, and the Mishnah of the Mishnah, the Perek, is the Perek of Teferis lo yimad ha'odim, so therefore it must be that through the Smid of Teferis, we could have a little bit of an insight of how people like us can understand and experience a little bit main something of this Kedusha that the Chavaya was talking about. The Smid of Teferis. I think all of you know that there's a famous Radbaz. But the Radbaz says that even al pipshutim shel dvarim, chametz is the Yetzer Hara. It's very hard, he says, to understand such chumras with chametz. You don't find anything else like that. Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah is the same bechina. It's the Yetzer Hara. And because of this, there's a famous question. The Zohar Kodesh asks, the same Chavaya that we're talking about, asks the question, since Chametz is itself the embodiment of the Yetzara, of the other side, so the Zohar asks, why is Chametz also only by Pesach? The truth is we should be eating, you know, potato starch the whole year. Potato flour starch the whole year. Why is chametz allowed after Pesach? If chametz is Avodah Zarah, chametz is the sitrach, chametz is the etzar, chametz is the nachas, is the snake. Because this lashonis you have in Chazal and in the Zohar Kodesh, chametz, bid. So it should be also after Pesach as well. So do any of you know what the Zohar's answer is? There's a famous moshel the Zohar Kodesh brings. I'm sure you know. Just to remind you, but the Zohar Kodesh says that a moshel of a person who's sick. And because the person is sick, there are certain things that he can't eat, right? Things that he has to stay away from. And there are certain things that he needs to have medications that he needs to take, and certain foods that he needs to eat to bring him back to that state of teferis, of health. Teferis is the lashon of refuah, of health, of equilibrium and balance and health. So the Zohar Kodesh is answering that matzah is michladas fasa. Matzah is health, is that food of health, is that food that cures us of this sickness of the snake. And we need to have heavy dosages of it, and that's what we have for the week of Pesach. And we need to stay away from the bad stuff that makes us sick, which is chametz. But once we're cured, we stayed away from the chametz, and we had the matzah, we stayed away from the bad stuff, the poison, and we ate the good stuff, the michladas fasa, the medicine. So the Zohar Kodesh says, so then we mail it, so then we don't have to stay away from chametz anymore. Yeah. It's very hard to understand that answer of the Zohar Kodesh, the marshal. It's obviously very, very deep. We're going to try to understand it. The obvious question is, okay, say that. So we were cured somehow of this sickness. We were cured of the effects of the chametz. We were cured. And we had matzah. So now we could put the matzah away and we could come back to the chametz. Like, why come back to that stuff? Let's say, you know, your doctor showed that, let's say a person is smoking, and because they're smoking, the lungs became infested with junk. the lungs got messed up, and the doctor therefore prescribed that he can't smoke, stay off cigarettes now, and you also have to have a whole regimen of medications to try to bring your lungs back to health. So let's say, and this guy comes back after 2 months, and he's the doctor. They check him, they make all the tests, and everything is clear. Lungs are good, everything is good. So then he says, okay, so now I'm going to smoke again. I mean, so Pesach is the cure. So we had all this medicine, the matzah, the bread of faith, the bread of healing. That's what says healing before. And it was able to counteract the effects of the chametz. So now it's after Pesach. So then you come back to the poison. Because the Moshe Dazon says, it's hard to understand, right? You understand the problem? Just stay away from this stuff. If the chametz itself is the representation, the embodiment, not just a symbol, but it's the Yetzer Hara, it's Ra, it's the Sitrach, it's the snake. So keep me away from that stuff altogether. Why should I put it back on my diet at all? Should be finished with it. Seems that the Ratzon Hashem is that we should eat chametz, no? And not only that, by the way, see, Shavuos has a big aliyah. The Shtei Alechem. So it seems that, the reality is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have chametz. That's the reality. And that he wants us to come every year back to Pesach and to go through this inyan of rehab. We go into rehabilitation to somehow to be cured and rehabilitated. And then to go back to chametz. So just on the way here, the tzaddik that was driving me, we were talking for a few minutes about a subject that I have not discussed at all in shul, because there's such craziness about it. I decided I'm not even going to bring it up. Let them deal with it somewhere else. Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. I'm supposed to be dealing with everything, but I decided against it. The subject of immunization and vaccinations, you know, with the measles and all this stuff. Because a couple of people in this, whatever, I don't want to talk about the topic, not in halacha, and not even in the machshava part of it. But v'chol zos, we need to see that also, to understand that there is such a thing in the world as immunization. Forget about the measles right now, but there's something that's called immunization. In other words, in the Olam HaTeva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a thing that unless you come from the Middle Ages, you believe that there are certain medications, there are certain things that could be given that can preempt a sickness. Uh-huh. There are certain vaccinations, there are immunizations that you had as children. And they immunize you from that particular strain of a bacteria or disease. This is something which is in the Olam HaTeva, which is clear to any person that's current, I guess. That's a nice way of putting it. I was going to say normal, but I don't want to say that. It's just say any person that's current. There's such a thing as immunization. Pesach was given to us, and it's given to us each year, so that we should be able to be free. Mcheiros, like we say every day in davening, was not meant as something that would be for 7 days. It's called Cheiros Olam. Cheiros Olam means that the tachlis, which is obvious, I'm not saying anything that you don't all know already and you haven't learned with your rebellion, just to put it together a little bit in teferes. The Baruch Shalom's Ratzon is not that we shouldn't ever eat chametz. The Baruch Shalom's desire, his Ratzon, is that we should be the kind of Jews who are able to be immunized through the vaccination of Zugilui Shechina, Yilui Shechina of Pesach, so that the chametz doesn't kill you. so that the chametz doesn't have any effect upon you. So the chametz remains even after the yontif is finished. Lo sharir lo kayom and ka'ar fadar. Ka'ar fadar, that's bottle. Not that I should never ever, not that I can't ever use a computer, because if I use the computer, then something's going to pop up, and then that little pop-up is going to be a nekeva, and that nekeva is going to then take me off into sick, disgusting websites. Is that the whole thing is bottom of it. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore. It doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't destroy me. There's a world that's called Paro. And Paro's world is Mi Hashem Hashemah B'Kailai. Who is Hashem that I should b'chalal listen to? And that means that inside every one of us is a little Paro. It's a little Paro of Mi Hashem Hashemah B'Kailai. It's that little Paro inside of inside the brain. And that little Paro, it doesn't hit you like, like when you're sitting in your sukkah or you're putting on film, but it hits you at weird times. When you're being pulled towards something with that pop up or whatever it is, or it's a living pop up or whatever that might be, that is pulling you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you begin to have these thoughts of Mi Hashem Hashem. Not you don't actually think of this, but Mi Hashem Hashem B'Karlai. Why should I listen to Hashem? How can I listen to Hashem? And those thoughts, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is competing, when that voice of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Sheyaseich Emes Yisrael is competing with Paro, who says, Mi Hashem Sheyashma B'Kailai. Again, it doesn't happen to you when you're in the middle of davening. It could happen to you when you're in bed and you don't feel like getting up for davening. But that voice of Paro, Mi Hashem Sheyashma B'Kailai, did I ever see him? Like in the Sipur Maisis, did I ever meet the king? Did you ever meet the king? The Chacham in the time, right? But the Chacham is interviewing people, and the Chacham asks, he's the soldiers there, and he asks the soldiers, who do you work for? The soldiers say, we work for His Majesty the King. And the Chacham, by Rabbi Nachum, the Chacham is not a compliment, right? He's saying the Chacham, meaning like in Yiddish, the Chucham. Chucham means like a Chucham, a clever, like he thinks he's a big clever person. So the Chacham asks these soldiers, who do you work for? We work for His Majesty the King. So he says, do you ever see the King? He says, when I allowed him, we never actually saw him, but so he says, you never saw the king, so how do you know there's a king? The whole thing is stopping. Now, normally that might not bother the soldier. He might just say, get out of here. But if there's something that the soldier would like to do very, very, very much, and it's against what the king is telling him to do, then he could start to think like that. Maybe there's no king. Maybe there's taka no king. Maybe there's no king. Sometimes that can come down a different way. Maybe like this, it could come like a nusach. This is a more sophisticated nusach. This is like a more of a modern nusach, which would be, how do we actually know that the Torah Shebal Peh, that everything the Torah Shebal Peh is Divrei Elokim Chayim? How do I know that? You can make it into all kinds of. Who told the Shulchan Aruch that this is the halacha? Maybe the halacha is like that. There are other ways they can go, but it's always that Mi Hashem Hashem B'Kailai. It's Paro, and when a person starts to listen to Paro, it could drag him into a world of that's the Hepech Min HaKadusha. That's the opposite of Kedushim Ti. The opposite of Kedusha. Therefore, the whole Indian of Yitzias and Sarmat Pesach is Ladas Kini Hashem. Every pasuk, Laman Teidu, Ladas Kini Hashem. What's amazing is that the Baruch Shalom made such an inyan of Ladas Kani Hashem, Laman Teidu, Kani Hashem B'Kerav Haaretz, that Hashem Yisbarach made that yontif of Pesach, and was megala that or of the Shechina, not in Yerushalayim, that was going to be many years later, not in Yerushalayim, not in any yeshiva, not even in Borough Park or Muncie. He was Megala, that Gilui, that truth. That truth, he was Megala in Mitzrayim, in Mamish, in Manhattan. The version was Megala. That truth It would have been, wouldn't we all say that it would have been the nicest, it would have been a much nicer location to first take everybody to Yerushalayim. And then in Yerushalayim to have a big gathering, a big asifa of Ani Hashem, right? That would have been our choice. If we were in charge of working out that event of the big asifa, we would have made it in Yerushalayim. Not in downtown Mitzrayim. Wouldn't have made such a thing in Mitzrayim. So why did the Baruch Shalom do that? In the chametz itself, you understand? In the chametz itself. Because Mitzrayim is the chametz of the world. It's the most chametz-dicky place there ever was. In the chametz itself. There in the chametz itself, the Baruch Shalom said, Kindlech, don't eat chametz now. Or leave the chametz for a second, because talk about Pesach and Mitzrayim. Bring a carbon Pesach. Don't leave your house tonight. You're going to bring a carbon Pesach. Everybody's going to have a carbon Pesach. In other words, the aura of Kedusha was Mizgala, Davka, in that world where we were submerged in chametz, like in the bakery, in the pizza shop, but like much worse than any bakery or pizza shop. There was Mara Gadol, was Gilui Shechina, was I want you to know that I'm the Ribono Shel Olam. I want you to know that there's a Ribono Shel Olam. I want you to know that I exist. I love you. Your life is important, and I want you to be holy. There's a very simple way to understand this. Because this is the Midah of Teferis. The Midah of Teferis is not running away. The Baruch Shalom says, I want you to have chametz after Pesach, but I want you to eat chametz like a yid, not like a goy. I want you to meet a wonderful, beautiful girl that you're going to be crazy, meshug in love with, but not the one on the website, you understand? I want you to meet her with a shadchan and to go out and to wait until you're married. I want you to be in the world. I want you to be in the world. Teferis leman ha'adam, and ha'adam, and ha'adam. The Baruch Shalom doesn't have teferis from angels, you understand? Teferis leman ha'adam. And the adam is created min ha'adama, from the earth. In this world, in this physical world. I don't want you to run away. There are people who misrepresent Yiddishkeit in such a way, ki'ilu. That's what Yiddishkeit is. There are certain times and places where there's an emergency situation where a person stays, like Yom Kippur. There are times that one stays completely away, but that's not the way the Baruch Shalom wants us to live. Let me give you a very simple mashal to understand this. Almost everybody that I've ever met in my life, no, everybody that I've ever met, almost anybody that I've ever heard of, with the exception maybe of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Susim later, likes to go every now and then on vacation. But I'm sure we never took a vacation. Never took a vacation. I can't even imagine such a thing. His big time off is when he went to the sea, when he went to the oil, that was like his time off. When he went, he didn't eat that day, and he was davening for 8-10 hours on his feet. That was his like break. Otherwise, he was in 770. The time that he came to America, that was it. He went twice to the country to visit the kids in camp. That's when he went twice to the mountains. Otherwise, he was in 770. He never went anywhere. Never went. Didn't leave. Went to a chasna once. When he was rabbi, there was one time. It was a certain chasna that he went to. After that, he wasn't anywhere else. Only by the oil and 770. He never went on vacation. Now, a lot of the most wonderful stories we have from Tzaddikim is when they were on vacation in Europe. Those are for sure the best pictures from the last generation. And there were photographers hanging out, Jews and not Jews, that were taking pictures of Tzaddikim. So you get a picture of a Baruch Bear, like in a hammock, you ever see that? Like you have these great pictures. There's no picture of the Lubavitcher Rebbe on a hammock. There's one picture of him that somebody took from far away, must have been like one of those special cameras. back in the 50s, from far away. Did you ever see this picture with when he was in his room looking at a sefer standing up without his hat on? But it's just the yarmulke. You ever see the picture? There's a picture like that. It's the only picture you ever saw without his hat on, or without the talis. Some photographer got through the window, and he was looking, caught him looking in his sefer, and with just his yarmulke, and without his coat, just in his shirt and the yarmulke. Otherwise, I never even saw a picture like that anywhere. My father, Zal Gesundheit, said that when he was growing up, before the war, he never saw his father ever without a hat. He sat in the house with a hat. That's how he sat. Like, when he was relaxing, he wore a hat. The only time he saw him without a hat was when the towel was over his head. Otherwise, he never sat without a hat. That's how he sat. Most people can't live this way. And they like to take a vacation every now and then. And it's a chashuva thing to take a vacation. Because especially now, it's important that somebody has a time to be, not take, you know, to cut oneself off. But Bam is a real vacation. A real vacation means you have to put the phone down someplace too. Because if you go on a vacation with a phone, then it's the same thing as being at work, doesn't mean. But a person to have Be'emes a vacation, it's a great thing. It's a great thing to be able to get out of the hole, that whole lachas, the pressure, the milchamas, and so on, and to be pesachtik, to be away from the chametz, to be away from the chametz of your life, which could be your boss, your office. To be away, even over time, your own neighborhood becomes, your own shul becomes a little bit chametz. Like you get, like, you know, the same characters knocking. You need to get away. You know, maybe you don't feel that so much yet, but as you get older, you feel that more. But it's important and it's good to get away. And the purpose of going away is that a person should have an aichis, should have nuchis, fresh kaiches, and so on. But it's an interesting thing about vacations. Maybe not everybody feels this, but I think a lot of people feel this. So let's say you go away for 2-3 days, and you're by, you know, just the place you always wanted to be. It's beautiful, like lake, and you have like a porch, a deck, and you're sitting on a very comfortable chair, and you have a geshmak sefer or something, and you're looking out over this beautiful lake. This is exactly what the whole year. The whole year you're chalishing, like you see this in your head, this picture, right? But after 2 days or less, you start going out of your kelim. You start going nuts. And you start to think back, like with nostalgia, like about my shul and work, you know, the office and being back in the world. It's a strange thing. Because you see that the Baruch Shalom made us in such a way that we want to be back in the chametz of life. What he wants us to do is to be able to take off and to be able to get immunization, to get a vaccination, so that the world doesn't get to you like it used to. Not that you shouldn't be in the world, but the world shouldn't get to you. It shouldn't make you crazy. I was just on a Shabbos, this past Shabbos. I can't even, if I start talking about it, I'm going to cry, and I don't want to cry right now. Because I can't even talk about it. My wife and I was a Shabbos with 600 people, 300 husbands and couples, no kids, but 600 people, all of whom have children that are, most of them multiple children, not one, that are off the derech. Talking about marrying goyim, tattoos head to toe. 70% of the chevra were chassidish chevra. Baba, Satma, Lubavitch. Then the other 30% were Maran, Yeshiva, so on, mixture. I can't even start to talk about it. The conversations I had and the things that I heard and the amuna that I saw and the simcha that I saw. And I said to my wife when we were coming back, I said, you know, I'm so nervous about this kid of mine. I mean, even though they're old and they're married, but I get nervous. This one's divorced. I get upset about this. I said, oh, yeah, am I happy for our kids? What am I? I'm so grateful. I wanted my son to turn out to be some big chassidish, you know, he decided not to. because I wanted it too badly. That was my mistake. So he decided not to. But he's wonderful. He's shomer mitzvahs. I was talking to a Talmud Chacham, not Stam a Talmud Chacham, a very well-known Talmud Chacham, who I thought was coming there just to teach, like me. I came there to talk to the Chavrut, to give shiurim, and shmuzim, to give chizik. So I thought that's what he was there for, a very famous big chassidish rabbi. And I'm sitting there talking to him, and he says to me, and I said, you can't, so, Hashem, you're here to do Mashpia. And he says, Mashpia, he says, I have a 21-year-old that's living someplace in Africa. I have a 28-year-old, this one has tattoos from here to here, and hasn't spoken to us, like, whatever. One story after the other, like, what's going on? And my wife and I were coming back, I just, we actually sat down and we wrote a letter to each of the kids how much we appreciate them, how grateful we are for each of them. Okay, so he doesn't get to minyan on time. Huh? He believes in God. He davens. My kids, they're all good kids, Baruch Hashem. They're raising children that Hashem Torah mitzvah. They themselves, they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They love Hashem. They serve Hashem. So, okay, so I wanted a little bit more like this, a little bit less like that, you understand? Everybody needs to go away to get a different perspective. But Hashem Yisrael wants you back in your world. He wants you back in the chametz. It says in Kehelet in the 10th book, Ashrei Eretz Shemalkech Ben Chayin. I was thinking about that passage. Ashrei Eretz. Fortunate is the land whose king is a free man. But we understand that in Pnimis, that means Ashrei Eretz. Fortunate are you to be able to live in this world and to be a melech. Not to be controlled by the world, but to be a melech. Ashrei Eretz, Shemalkech Ben Chorin. Because if you're a Ben Chorin, then you could have a phone. You could have a phone. You could have a beautiful wife. You could have a beautiful car and a beautiful home. Just don't become enslaved to it, you know? Just be a melech. Ashrei Eretz Shemalkech Ben Chayrin. Cheres Olam means that the Baruch Hu gave us the Antiv Pesach like a week off to get immunized and vaccinated. So that when we come back, because he wants us back, because it's Teferes Leiman Ha'adam. Teferes Leiman Ha'adam. That pshat of the first of all is not mine. The Sfasam is Chusin who says that. That's what Rabbeinu HaKadosh is saying. That's the Midah of Teferis. Not too much to the right, not too much to the left. Teferis, Lemin HaAdam, means to be a normal person in the world. Because Hashem Yisbach has the greatest Nachas Tavke Min HaAdam, who comes from the Adama, not from the angels. In the world of the Mezit Shemagis Chusin Leinu, which Mestami was Makalf and Baal Shem HaKadosh, which is rooted in the Zohar Kadosh, and Rabbi Shimon's Chavaya. There is something that's called Kishut and Delahava, meaning that there are certain, when the bride, traditionally the bride is adorned with 24 Kishutim. You ever see a picture they have, like in Yemen, in Taman, they have mamish, that they have certain Messiah of what exactly the colors have to wear, all different things. Say to the 24 books of Tanakh that are Kishutin. But Kishutin de Lahava means like this. The greatest gift you could give to someone that you love is when it's something that's unexpected, right? Aren't you always trying to think of unexpected? Something that's unexpected. Something that would be like, wow. And it's something I never ever dreamt, and this means more to me than anything. I never thought of it. I never thought I could have this. That's a nice gift to give, right? That's the nicest gift to give. So the Mezuzah Magid says Kishut Nelahava means, but the angels are able to say Kodesh 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 to Hashem, and the angels and the Malachim are able to serve Hashem Kodesh Kodesh Kedusha Kedusha. that's not the greatest gift for Hashem, because that's like that's like giving your father a necktie, you know what I mean? But when kishun d'lo havo, when it's something that you never, it's so unexpected, it's so like unbelievable, how did you do that? When you get a gift like that's really, I remember that some of my chaverim got together last year, it was my 60th birthday, and they, Shlomo Katz and Chaim David and Eitan and Yosef Kadunu, they got together and they wrote this beautiful song. I don't know if you ever heard Mishara HaTshuva, you know this song? So they wrote this song to give me a gift. I grew up in a home where we didn't celebrate birthdays. My father doesn't celebrate, my mother don't go with birthday stuff. There was never any birthday union. And my father sees it as being something not Jewish. And it was never part of our lives. But I understood that later on I have to do a birthday thing with everybody. So the kids made me some kind of a surprise birthday. Also, I didn't expect it. I thought I was going over to one of the kids' houses that there was something to learn with my anticle. And then all of a sudden, there was a whole surprise. And one of the surprises was, which is an Irish guy, and one of the surprises, very sweet Irish guy, but an Irish guy, that all of a sudden there's this song, this the guys sent you, made a song for you, Mishara Hachu. If you haven't heard, it's a beautiful song. It's on the album now from the shul that the shul put out. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's Kishut Delahava, I know. Such a thing. You know, never expected, never asked for, never thought. You know, when you and I, when we daven, when we do a mitzvah, the Baruch Shalom, even after all of these years, the Baruch Shalom is like, wow, you did that for me. It's Kishut Delahava. It's like you every time. You and I, in this generation, you get up in the morning for the shul, you could say to Hashem, surprise! It's such a chiddush. The Mizrach Shamayim gives a marshal of everybody comes, the rich person, the king, he says, has a parrot, a parakeet, which is the one that talks. It's the same thing, a parrot and a parakeet? I don't know. But there's a bird that can talk, you know. It doesn't have his own, but he says things. So, the Mizrach Shamayim said that everybody's gathered around this bird, and all the people coming, then the spoil from this bird. More than the spoil from here to here, divrei chachma from a chacham. That's what Mizrach Shamayim has. In other words, there's a chacham that's giving a shiur in the next room or a lecture, and the olam is standing by the parakeet, and the chacham is saying a fancy lecture on nuclear physics, right? And the parakeet is saying. Shalom aleichem, shalom aleichem, shalom aleichem, whatever. And the whole island is by the parakeet. Right? The whole island is by the parakeet. So why aren't they by the chacham? The chacham sang over a big shiur. And the parakeet sang over something over and over, a few words. So Mizrach Shamayim says, achidish, kishut d'lahava, that a bird should talk. That a bird should talk. It's a chidish. That you and I should be ovdei Hashem. And it says Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. It says Kodesh until Ki Kodesh Ani Hashem. Just simple. Ki Kodesh Ani Hashem means the same way, but the Baruch Shem, you see such a thing. That it's Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. That Hashem is Kodesh, but it's also Maloi Chalaretz Kevayda. The Baruch Shem is here. And the same thing the Baruch Shem wants for us. Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. To be Jews that guard ourselves, that are holy. But Maloi Chalaretz Kevayda. But He wants us to be in the world of Chametz. Not to run away from the world of Chametz. But to live like a Jew in a Chametz de Gevel, that's Teferes Leman Adam, you understand? That's Teferes Leman Adam. That's the meat of Teferes. Teferes Leman Adam. And Rebbe was Megalus because Rebbe is the meat of Teferes. Rebbe is the meat of Teferes. Pe'er and the Oysher and Yom, the Indian of Rabbeinu Kodesh, the Yaakov Avinu and the Tzais of Yaakov Avinu. That's why, there are many things about that with Rebbe, it's not to go into right now. Even what he ate was everything was the Indian of Teferes. Was Teferes. Everything with Rabbeinu HaKadosh was Teferes Lebanon. So do we have another 2 minutes? Can I share with you something? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give you this, take this, and then afterwards, give it back. I want to show the next chevet to. You can make a photo. You can keep one of them and make more copies afterwards, but I just need them for the next chevet. So let me tell you what this is. Listen to this. This is the Teferes Leman Adam. This is the story that I told to this to these 600 parents by Kabbalah Shabbos, which is, it was actually before Mizan Ladovah, so I think they might have filmed it, but there was definitely a microphone. I was getting nervous because, you know, even by the Chassidim, it's starting to get dark, and they have a microphone on me. This is what was going on, this is the past Friday, and I'm looking at, I'm saying, I'm going like this, and the Chassidim all going, and I'm looking at this little microphone, and then finally, I just went like, it was before this man, but there was an early Kabbalah Shabbos, but we didn't say Mizan Ladovah, so it was still okay. But I was getting nervous because the sun, it was getting dark, so I was getting nervous. But they did the last talk that I gave to this chaver was Mizan Shabbos. Everybody is there having Lava Malka at 2:15 in the morning. That was 2:15. Like times Bechlal, everybody is totally relaxed. What's your hurry? Everything is good. So this is a story. There was a big tzaddik in Yerushalayim who was zeich to meet a few times. Reb Asher Freund, the zeich tzaddik of Kosh Lavrach, was an Ish Kodesh, a very holy person. Reb Asher Freund. He put out some things from Sotoyos, but this, I got Pesach, one of the chevra gave a booklet to me with 68 stories that Reb Asher Freund told. Joey Rosen, you know Joey? Joey gave this booklet to me that he had. He told me how he got it. Some gave it to him. And there are 68 stories that Reb Asher Freund told that since Rabbi Nachman, you don't have these are made up stories. Each one is like this big. So let's just read it. I'm not going to have to translate. Everybody knows that. We'll read it together. It takes a minute. This is what it means to Kedusha. It's called Ma'aseh B'Noflim. So Ma'aseh of Noflim, people who fall. Shahayu Briya, Shahayu Halcha B'Noflim. There were these people that wherever they went, they were always falling. And everybody else in the world, they were walking and they would get to where they had to go. But these people were always falling. V'ahayu Nishbar Ma'ay, they were very tzibrachim. Eich kol ha'olam halcha m'migiyim v'hem halcha b'Noflim. They look around, they see everybody seems to be getting where they have to go, but these people, whenever we go, we fall. So a big chacham came and said to them, Al kalponim takumu v'tamshichu l'leches. Al kalponim, don't sit there, get up and keep on going. Keep on going. V'shomu l'atzah, so they listened to him, v'yukamu v'mamshichim l'leches v'noifim, oitpam v'shuv kamen. And they listened to his eitzah, and they would walk, and they would fall, but they listened to his eitzah, and they would get up and continue walking. Even though they were very discouraged and disheartened. And the whole world called these people the Noiflim. They were so used to falling that it became a wonder in their eyes that they were still able to get up after all these years of falling. They were very used to falling. But they were still able to get up after all of the nefilas. They were mispalim. It was a pearl. It was a wonder. Until they began to call themselves, not hanoiflim. They began to call themselves hakomim. Because that was a pearl. What a pearl. That after all of these nefilas, we're getting up. And you know what? Until finally the whole world began to see them as hakam, and began to call these people hakam. It's a very, very deep story. And I'll leave you with it. You'll think about it and talk about it. And that's why I said to this chevra, these people, that you might think of yourselves as being the Noiflim of this generation. You're not the Noiflim, you're the Kamim of this generation. And our generation, compared to all previous and earlier generations, they can look at us and we look like Noiflim. It's a pella that will come. Hakadekach that Rashi and the Ramban and all the and Chassam Sofer and the Chofetz Chaim are looking at our generation and now they're calling us Hakom, the ones who get up, because they never knew what it was like this. They never had such nefilas like this. And Hakom, the ones who stand up, the ones who get up. Ashreinu, Ashreinu, Ashreinu. We should be zeichet to taste the Cheres Olam, what it means to be free. What it means to be free, what it means to be able to be in this world of chametz, but not to be meshubet to the chametz. You understand? To be able to go to school, to go to work, to get married, to go to the house, and to be, but to be not to fall into pyro. to every now and then, you know, Pesach vacation, off, clean, chai, vaccination, and go back into the world. Hakamim, the ones who sometimes we fall, but then we get back up and we're in it. That's the tachas of being in Jim. Hashem, Hashem. Yishibizoichim is Hashem. For the time that we won't have to fall anymore, we'll call. Lead the whole chaver all the way back to Yerushalayim. You can pass those back. Thank you.